To share with you from the Word of God. I've titled the sermon, Transformed by Our Choices. And you know, that sermon could have been titled, Destroyed by Bad Choices. Okay? Bad choices can destroy us. Good choices can transform us. This morning you made a choice. You made a choice to come to church. That's a good thing. Not to hear from me, hopefully, but to hear from God. Okay? You're not here to hear from me. You're here to hear from God. And so my prayer is that you'll have a sensitive heart and a sensitive spirit to listen and then to obey as the Spirit speaks to you. Tomorrow morning, you have to make a choice as well. Students, you have to choose to get up on time and go to school, right? It's a bad decision not to go to school. And parents, those of you who are older, who are working, the same thing. You need to get up in the morning and go to work. That's a good choice. You can also choose, this is a bad choice, you can choose to drink alcohol and drive, or be high on drugs and drive. Those choices will destroy you. There's another one that'll destroy you. Look at this next slide. I haven't got it written down here. It says, honk if you love Jesus, or text while driving if you want to meet him right now. There's a lot of truth to that. By the way, that was given to me by a non-Christian friend of mine. He says, Harry, you got to see this. So I took a look at it. I think I still have it in my wallet here. And I share it with different people. You know, it's foolish to text while driving. And by the way, I know of people who are not here today because they were texting. Okay? Don't do it. In fact, it's against the law. That's another reason not to do it. And as we go through this passage, what I want to do is just take a moment and cover something you've covered before. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, Jesus says, do not judge. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. And some people have taken this to mean that we are never to judge. And that's so wrong. That's so wrong. Wednesday morning, I was meeting with a group of friends at our high-end restaurant, you know, McDonald's. And I was having coffee with them, okay? And it's a group of guys. Most of them are Christians. There's a couple of guys who showed up who came and then went who were not Christian. But in there was one couple who claimed to be followers of Jesus Christ, but they're living together common law. They don't want me to know. And so they left early. And the one guy says, Harry, do you know that they're living common law? And I said, yeah, I've been hearing things. And I said, that's not right. He says, Harry, listen to me. The Bible says do not judge, or you too will be judged. And I says, yeah, Matthew 7, 1. You're good. You're good. And do you know it's one of the Ten Commandments that you're not to judge? I says, oh, no. It's not one of the Ten Commandments. And I said, have you read verse 2 and 3 and 4 of Matthew chapter 7? Because Jesus goes on in there and he gives instructions on what qualifies a believer to judge others, okay? And before we judge others, we must always judge ourselves. In fact, Jesus says, look at the plank in your own eye before you look at the speck in your brother's eye. And this guy says, oh, I didn't know that. I says, you ought to read the book of Jude. There's warnings there calling Christians to judge between right and wrong, between godly prophets and false prophets. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it is, that Paul says, we are to judge those within the church. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul writes there, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." So we always, when we go to judge, we do it with a humble heart, realizing we are sinners too. And we could be doing the same thing. Always come with a humble heart. Don't pick up stones. Instead, look at yourself. Okay, so as we go through this passage, there's a number of choices we have to make. And choices require discernment or judgment. So let's take a look at the first one. Two ways and their gates. Okay? There's the narrow way and there's the broad way. Listen to the words of Jesus. "Enter through the narrow gate," Jesus says. "For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." The narrow gate is through Jesus Christ. It's very narrow. Very, very narrow. In fact, if you look at the next verse, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's the narrow gate that leads into the kingdom of God. And it is synonymous with life. On the broad road, you can believe anything you want. But on the narrow road, you need to believe the Word of God. And you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. The world says there are many ways. The first church that I pastored in, Ryan, I'm envious of you. See, the first church that I was a youth pastor in, it was a liberal Arminian Presbyterian church. So they read the scripture, but then they put it aside, and then they started talking about different things, about culture, you know, and da-da-da-da-da. Nonsense. The pastor, I don't think, was a believer. Yes, I mean that. He was an alcoholic. Everybody knew it. He was a womanizer. Again, everybody knew he was unfaithful to his wife. He lived an ungodly life. And then I remember I had been given a number of opportunities to preach. And everything went well until the last time I preached and he was there. See, all the other times I always preached when he was away. But this time I preached while he was there. Oh, things went south from there. I was cut out of the preaching roster right at that moment. After the service, by the way, I had preached on this passage as well, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's the narrow way, okay? It's through Jesus Christ, no one else. And I hammered that home. You're not going to get it through. You're not going to get to Christ by going your way, you know? You hear this statement from time to time. You know, just as long as you're true to yourself. You know, whatever you believe, just be true to yourself. There's a Hebrew word for that. It's called baloney. Okay, there's no truth to that. Because if you're true to yourself, you're going to stray from the Word of God. You're going to become the standard, okay, that you measure everything else by. No, we don't operate that way. We use the Word of God as our standard. So after the service, as I walked out, by the way, Lorraine wasn't with me then. I was still single. And this young, real cute-looking girl came up to me. And she introduced herself to me, and she says, I'm serving overseas as the assistant to the ambassador of the United States in this one country, one of the Arab countries. And she says, I found your sermon very, very interesting. And was kind of intrigued by it, you know. You said that, like you were very, very narrow in your preaching. You said that there's only one way to God. I believe that there's many ways to God. And you just choose the way you want to go. And as long as you live a good life, you're going to make it. And she says, you don't believe what you preach, did you? I says, you bet I do. I says, because I anchored it in the Word of God. Okay? I anchored it in the Word of God. Not only do I believe it, I live by it. It's God's Word. Like I said before, the world says there are many ways to God. They say Jesus is not simply one way, but many ways. But the Bible says he is the only way. Jesus is not just a truth. He is the truth. Jesus is not just one way. He is the only way. Jesus is not only a life. He is the life. And if you want to experience that, you've got to go through the narrow gate. Muhammad said, I'm a prophet of truth. He claimed to teach truth, but he is not truth. In fact, he is buried today. He's in the ground. Buddha said at the end of his life, I am still searching for truth. I haven't found it. Jesus said, I am the truth. That's it. I'm it. To hammer this home, let me try it a different way. This week I was listening to John MacArthur. He's a pastor, prolific writer. He's on the radio every day of the week. And he's also the president of a university. So a bit of a busy man. And plus a conference speaker, a regular conference speaker. He said as president of the McMaster's University, he would sometimes go to these university gatherings, you know, where they'd have the presidents of the universities and some of the top professors of the universities. And at one of these meetings, he was asked, is your faculty free to search for the truth? I love his answer. He responded by saying, with all due respect, we are not looking for the truth. We've found it. All we want to do is understand it, apply it, and proclaim it. Amen? Amen. I like that. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. Now listen to one more verse, okay? In John 18:37, Jesus is speaking to Pilate. And he says, everyone on the side of truth listens to my voice. Did you get that? Everyone on the side of truth listens to my voice. Stop right here, folks. Are you listening to his voice? If you are, you're on the side of truth. You're on the side of truth. Which gate have you chosen? You see, your eternal state is at stake here. If you choose the broad road, I'm sorry, you're going to a lost eternity. You're going to hell. If you choose the narrow gate, the narrow road, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, then you have hope for all of eternity. And if you make the right choice, it will transform you. It will transform you. Let's move on now. The next one. Two trees and their fruit. Okay? Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. Just stop there for a moment. What does that mean? It means you need to discern who are the false prophets. In other words, you need to judge preachers and teachers. You need to judge me as well. By the way, don't accept a word I say. Always check it with the Word of God. Always check it with the Word of God. Jesus says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And then Jesus says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Again, that's judgment. Okay, you're judging. You're looking at a person's life and you're looking at their fruit. And if the fruit doesn't match the claims, then they are false prophets. And then Jesus gives some illustrations here. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? I grow grapes at my house. I have for, 20 years or so, been growing grapes. And we just moved to Abbotsford, and I've already planted grapes, and I had seven little grapes. Well, it's the first year, okay? So it's not bad. And they tasted so good. But then somebody stole the other seven. I don't know who it was. It wasn't my wife, I know that. I think it was some bird or something that stole them. But you know, I've noticed grapes always produce grapes. I have a Shinseki pear tree. I love those pears. You know, that pear tree doesn't produce thorn bushes or grapes. It produces Shinseki pears. Let's pick up on Jesus' illustration here. Or do figs come from thistles? Of course not. Figs come from fig trees. Likewise, he says, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Now, listen to this carefully, okay? God calls you and me to be fruit inspectors. Okay? We need to inspect the fruit of the people who claim to be the teachers, to be the preachers. And if the fruit doesn't match the claim, there's something wrong. Terribly wrong. Many people call themselves Christians, but they have no fruit to show it. They're living a lie. This week, I had a meeting with Ryan, Pastor Ryan. Remember that? Okay. Just making sure he's okay. I was driving from Abbotsford to Burnaby. We were going to meet in this nice restaurant, probably McDonald's. And as I'm driving around long at 100 kilometers an hour, all of a sudden I realize there's something wrong with my car. It's starting to pull to the left. And I'm thinking, flat tire. So I pull over nicely onto the side of the road. Check it. Yep, it's my front tire. So I replace the tire. Put the spare tire back, or put the other tire, the flat tire, into the trunk of the vehicle. Then I go back. I did something real dumb. I step back on that freeway, and I was hit by a dump truck going 100 kilometers an hour. I was thrown several hundred feet, rolled to the ditch, shook off the dirt, walked back to the car, and met with Ryan. Why are you looking at me so strange? You don't believe me? Who said that? Who said no? It's not true. You know what I'm trying to teach here, folks? There are many people who claim to be followers of Jesus, but their words don't match the fruit. There's something wrong. You see, they're making claims that they're followers of Jesus, and they're not. Just like that pastor that I talked about, okay? Listen, if I had been hit by that truck, I would have been transformed, right? Transformed into glory. And when you're hit by the gospel truck, you are transformed. There's a change, a massive change in your life. Never forget that. I'm going to illustrate that a little bit later in the next one here. I think it's the next one. Maybe it's this one. I think I'll do it in this one. Okay. Two claims and their reality. I want to share with you the story of one man. He used to live, and Lorraine will know, on Harris Road in Matsqui, on the south side of Harris Road, between Gladwin and Glenmore. And he was a farmer. And his goal was to have the largest farm in the whole Fraser Valley. And he built himself big barns, and he built himself a nice house. But he was a mean, cruel man. He was cruel to his neighbors. He was cruel to other farmers. He was cruel to his wife. He was cruel to his kids. But he was building up that farm, and he'd take advantage of anyone and everyone he could. And my father just refused to do business with him. He just says, Harry, I don't want anything to do with him. I was terrified of him. Fast track forward. Probably about 10 years, 15 years. I'm a pastor in Arnold Church. And I go to a meeting at the Pentecostal Church. It's regarding Christian education, and so all the denominations were invited to this Christian education conference. And so I'm sitting there and enjoying it and so on. And this man comes and sits beside me. I have no clue who he is. No clue. And he just asked me who I was and what I was doing. And so then I said, well, tell me your story. And he found out where I lived, on Glenmore Road. He says, oh, do you remember that farmer on Harris Road? Between Glenmore and Gladwin? On the south side of the road? The big farm there? I says, yeah, I do. I says, are you the owner of it? He says, I was the owner of it. And he says, Harry, I was a nasty, nasty man. I was a wicked man. I took advantage of people. I used people. And then I was abusive also to my wife and to my children. And one day I came home. I noticed a lot of stuff was missing. I saw a note on the table. His wife had written, I have taken the children and we have left. We're not coming back. I'll see you in court. And he was devastated. He went to court, and because of having to split all the assets, he went bankrupt. He said, Harry, it left me a broken, broken man. And I went to church. And he said, God transformed my life. I'm not what I used to be. I'm a different man. In fact, he said, Harry, I'm a pastor today. Wow. Wow. You see, he encountered the gospel. God radically changed his life. Go to Acts chapter, was it 7, 9? Where the Apostle Paul, or Saul as he was then called, was on his way. He was the persecutor of the church. He was going to destroy the church. And he got hit by the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel truck, if I can use that term. And God transformed that man from a persecutor of the church to a preacher of the church. That's what the gospel does. It changes people altogether. Here's the next one. Two claims and their reality. Okay? Listen to these words carefully, because they are shocking. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Then he says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from you, you evil doers.'" These words are absolutely stunning. People who've come to heaven's gate, okay? And they meet God. And they say, God says, I don't know you. I don't know you. But didn't I preach in church? Didn't I teach Sunday school? Didn't I tithe? Didn't I help the poor? I don't know you. I don't know you. You see, many of these people think they're going to make it on the basis of their works. There is only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. Every one of the religious groups that does not believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life has not done God's will concerning salvation. What is God's way into heaven? Listen again to the words of Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 40. "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." Why is this? The reason is because of a simple, very profound truth. Our salvation does not depend on us. It depends completely on the grace of God. It means that I must cry out to him, confessing my sin and asking God to extend his grace to me. And then God imputes, or he gives me, Christ's righteousness, so that when I come to heaven, God doesn't see my righteousness, which is as filthy rags. Really, it is. God sees Christ's righteousness and says, "Ah, he's one of them. She's one of them." Why? Because of Christ's righteousness. He is the way. And lastly, two houses and their builders. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Just stop there for a moment, okay? We're at the end now of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is making his final pitch. He says, "I've been teaching you all the way along about what my will is." You know, young people ask what God's will is. Just read the Bible. It's there. All of it. It's there. Just read the Bible and do what it says. Listen again. I want to read that first part. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So, if we want to know what God's will is, all we have to do is read God's word. And you know, so much of God's will is already contained in the Sermon on the Mount. So, here's a summary of the Sermon on the Mount. in 1 minute or less. Okay? Notice the key word here is puts them into practice. I have it here somewhere, I know. Here we go. The Beatitudes. Read them. I'm not going to go through them today. Okay? Read them. Apply them to your life. Where are we here? Be salt and light in the world. That's God's will for you. That's what God wants you to put into practice, okay? Be salt and light in your sphere of influence. Do not be angry with a brother or sister. And if you are, which happens sometimes, settle it quickly. Don't commit adultery. Do not divorce. Tell the truth at all times. Repay. I love this. Evil with good. Actually, I hate it. But that's what we're supposed to do, right? That's God's word. Love your enemies. Again, that's a hard one. Have you got some? Love them. Love them. That's what God commands you. Give to the needy, but do it secretly. Don't give to them and then go tell everybody else. No, do it secretly. If you fast, don't do it for show. Value highly all things only by the price they shall gain in eternity. Can I repeat that once more? Value highly all things only by the price they shall gain in eternity. Do not worry. Trust God. Don't judge hypocritically or self-righteously. Ask, seek, knock. Do you see, folks? The secret here is to be a person who hears God's word and then puts it into practice. Now, let me say this. If you have heard God's word and you're going to walk out of here and not do anything about it, you've wasted your time. Really, you've wasted your time. You could have been at home watching some NFL game or some soccer match or tennis match. If you really mean business with God, you're going to listen to God's word and you're going to walk out of here and you're going to do it. Let me tell you this. If you choose to follow Jesus' teachings, your life will be transformed. The sermon is titled, Transformed by Our Choices. And now it's up to you and me to make those choices. Let's pray. Father, we have listened to your word. In fact, we've opened up your word and we've seen it. We've heard it. And now I pray, Father, that with our hearts and our wills, we will decide and determine to obey it. Help us to do that for your glory and for our benefit, and so that the world may see Christ living in us. Amen.